Welcome to the Apex Church podcast. Thanks for listening and we hope you enjoy today's message. Be sure to check out our website at www.apexchurch.org.uk and let us know you've been listening. Now prepare your heart to hear a word from God today.
Good morning and thank you once again for joining us for our online church experience. I'm so glad that you've tuned in today and you've came on a Sunday where we're beginning a new series for our summertime called Walking with Jesus. You know, every day we have the opportunity to go on a journey and to walk with Jesus and to get to know him in a greater way. Also, this Sunday is a significant Sunday in the life of some of our children who are part of our church family. It's the time where they come to the end of their primary school. It's the last week of school for them. But it's also they come to the end of their time at Apex Kids and get ready to transition into Apex Youth. We praise God that there are 11 kids this year who are stepping up into Apex Youth. But we also give thanks for the years that the kids team have invested into our kids. Some of these kids actually were in secondary school for the first time this week during their time of preparation before after the summer heading into S1. And I was just thinking that it's actually 21 years since I went into secondary school. Now I wonder how long it's been since you started secondary school. And I remember being quite nervous and apprehensive, getting ready to be the youngest in the big school, and I'd heard stories about what that was like. And I wonder, do you remember those days? Were you one of those shy kids? Did you just keep your head down, yourself to yourself, or were you quite a mischievous 12-year-old? I wonder if you could go back to your 12-year-old self and have a conversation. What would you say to your 12-year-old self? Knowing what you know now, what would you say to them? Well, I look back to that time in my life and those next few years, and I'm aware now that some of the decisions that I made at that point actually have led to me being where I am today. And thankfully, most of those decisions were quite positive. And I guess, like many, I'm sure we look back and go, well, if I was to do that again, I probably wouldn't do that. What would you say to your 12-year-old self? Well, this week I sent a message to one or two people just to share and find out some of their thoughts. If they were to have a conversation with themselves when they were that age, what would they say? And today we're going to look at some of those during our time together. But we find ourselves in a time when society is a challenging place for a Christian, and particularly young people who are Christians, to live in. We continually see that Christianity is being pushed to the margins, being sidelined at times. And it can be difficult to live out your faith in this context, but I think if we're being honest, throughout history there's been many difficult times and we've got to learn how to live out our faith sincerely and authentically in the times that we are living in. How can we do that? How can we stay on the right path as we're walking with Jesus? Well, I think it's going to be really difficult if we try and do that ourselves and with our best efforts. We're going to need God's help. And the good news is that he wants to help us and he wants to walk with us. The Psalms are filled with great songs of praise and thanksgiving, but they're also filled with great advice for us on how we are to live in this life. The psalmist in Psalm 119 gives instructions on how we are to stay on the right path. Turn with me, if you can, to Psalm 119, and we're going to read a few verses together. We're going to read from verse 9. How can a young person stay on the path of purity? By living according to your word. I seek you with all my heart. Do not let me stray from your commands. I have hidden your word in my heart, that I might not sin against you. Praise be to you, Lord. Teach me your decrees. With my lips I recount all the laws that come from your mouth. I rejoice in following your statutes as one rejoices in great riches. I meditate on your precepts and consider your ways. I delight in your decrees. I will not neglect your word. I want to talk to you today about staying close to Jesus. If you want to stay on the right path, you're going to need to stay close to Jesus. And I think there are a couple of things that we can consider today. First of all, his word. And then secondly, we're going to consider your words. Have you ever found yourself in a position where you haven't had a lot of time to think and you've made an impulse decision? Sometimes it's when you're about to buy something and you maybe haven't done the right research and it seems like a good deal and you just go and buy it. This happens a lot to me when I'm in the supermarket. I get in there and I'm in for one thing, but something takes your attention. Something catches your eye. It's on offer. It might even be one of those items that has a short date on it and it needs to go now and it's really, really cheap and it's not on your list. So that's something that you've budgeted for, but you want it, and you see it, and your mind begins to tell you all the reasons why you should buy it. And you know that you haven't budgeted for it, so you don't have the money for it, and you know that it maybe tastes good for a moment, but you're going to pay for it later. You know that it's maybe not a good choice, but you cave in those moments. A lot of the bad choices that we make are in times where we make decisions based on our feelings and emotions rather than taking the time to consider what is the right thing to do. And your decisions determine the path that you will walk on. And I want to talk to you today about choices to begin with, because choices are really important, not just for those that are 12 years old starting out in secondary school, but for each of us, because all our choices have consequences. Every choice has a consequence, either positive or it could be negative. Choices are really important, and often there isn't time to consider. Sometimes we just have to react, and therefore in those moments you need to make those decisions ahead of time. That's what we call convictions. Convictions are predetermined decisions. They're like guardrails, safety barriers, that in the event of a moment where you've got little time to think or consider, you know exactly what you are going to do. Let me share one of the messages that I got this week. And just imagine this person talking to their younger self. As you enter your teens, you will have choices to make. It may not be apparent at the time, but you will make choices that will have lifelong impacts. You will be out in situations where you'll be surrounded by wise people who want to help you make the right decision. But you'll also be in situations where you'll be in the company of unwise people who may seek to influence you, perhaps through peer pressure, to make the wrong decision. At all times, seek to do what is right in the eyes of God. He is the ultimate judge, but remember, you're not alone. He is there to offer you wisdom in any given situation if you ask for it. What to do, how to do it, what to say, how to get out of a tight corner. It's amazing how quickly he can come into any given situation to sit alongside you, to give you the wisdom and courage you need to make the right choice. Pretty wise words. Choices are really important. In the Bible, we read about a character who was called Daniel. And he made decisions based on his convictions, not on his circumstances. He finds himself in a foreign land where they don't worship like he used to worship. It's all different rules and regulations. And he finds himself in a culture that was leading him into the wrong path that would have resulted in idolatry and sinfulness. But he made decisions not based on circumstances, but on his convictions. This is what the Bible tells us in Daniel chapter 1, verse 9. Daniel resolved not to defile himself with royal food and wine. And he asked the chief official for permission not to defile himself this way. He made a decision. He was resolved. He had a conviction. And the Bible tells us that after 10 days, he was 10 times better in shape than all the rest who were eating the king's food. He won the respect of other people, and he honored God by sticking to his convictions. It's so important that, like Daniel, you choose to honor God rather than what suits you best. So where do we find our convictions? Well, it comes through seeking God and reading his word. That's what the scripture tells us, right? The start of that passage I read in Psalm 119. By living according to your word. That's what we read in the Bible. Not according to our thoughts, not according to our feelings, not according to what our friends are saying or society is pushing us towards, but what God says in his word. You know, we are limited human beings. We are not all wise and all knowing like God is. He still knows what is best and what is good for us. That's why it's so important. Whether you're a teenager or whether you're in the latter stages of your life here on earth, that we read God's word. Not just that we read it daily, but we apply it to our lives daily, and then we will reap. We will reap what God's word tells us. It's like what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7. So in everything, do to others what you would have them do for you. For this sums up the law and the prophets. And Jesus is saying, if you treat other people the way that you would like to be treated, that pretty much sums up everything that was in the laws and the prophets. That's a lot of the Bible summarized in one sentence. These are guardrails or safety barriers. God's word's filled with them. Not rules to restrict you, but safety barriers stop you from straying off his way, which is best. That's why one of the verses that I heard this week when I asked people for what they would tell themselves, I did ask as well, if you've got a life verse, so many people came back with this scripture. Above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. And I guess as well today, two things that I think are really important for young people in particular to have conviction about. First is your chums, friends. Make sure your closest friends share the same values as you. A lot of our friends will be based on the interests, whether they like going shopping or they like playing computer games or football or whatever you share together as an interest. But you need to make sure that the closest friends, the ones that are nearest to you, that you spend the most time with, don't just share your interest, they share your values. They love God. They love his house. They want the best for you. They're positive and uplifting. And that's the second thing that we need to make sure we're convicted about is church. That you're here every single Sunday. That you are part of this house. That you're planted, not buried, not hiding, but you're planted and rooted here, and that you get involved, serve, give everything, put your heart into everything, give your all. And if you make sure that your closest friends share your values and you're planted in the house of God, that's a good recipe to stay on the right path. And the second one I want to share with you today said this, never take your eyes off Jesus. There's thousands of distractions put in all our paths every day to trip us up. to disconnect us with him. Just remember, nothing in this life will ever compare to what he's done for us. Friends, popularity, the latest gadgets mean nothing, because ultimately our goal is to be in heaven where none of that will matter. He has called us by name. This is a privilege to walk in his glory, to know we are his chosen ones. Be kind to those who make fun of you. Read your Bible and use it as your armor. Never take your eyes off Jesus. He never takes his eyes off of you. Never take your eyes off Jesus. The psalmist says, I seek you with all my heart. So stay close to Jesus. Make him your greatest desire. And we love God, and we learn how to love him as he reveals himself through the Bible. As we read the Bible, we learn more about him. And the more you know about him, the more that you'll love him. Stay close to Jesus to stay on the path. And then the psalmist goes on to say, I've hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against it. The psalmist is saying here that I'm not detached from your word. It's actually within me. It's part of me. I read it. I think about it. I apply it to my life, and I'm seeing the benefits for that. And this, it's so important that we stay close to Jesus, because it means that we'll steer clear from sin and stay on the path of purity. You're more likely to give in to temptation when there is distance in your walk. What is sin? It's anything that displeases God. And that's from the big things, the thou shalt not 10 commandments, right down to those hidden things that you know about and God knows about. The Bible tells us we've all sinned, that we've all fallen short, that we all need his forgiveness and we all need his grace. And it's so important that we stay close to him, because especially in life, in the workplace, and in social gatherings, there's always that temptation to compromise your convictions to be accepted by other people. But be like Daniel. Resolve not to defile yourself. Stay close to Jesus. Okay, we've looked at his word, and just for these last few moments, I want to ask you about your words. See, if you change your words, you'll change your world. Teenagers in particular are sometimes very selective in the amount of words that they will use. And you can ask them a pretty deep question, and they'll probably say something like, You'll maybe grunt at you, and you'll maybe get a sigh or a complaint or a moan or a grumble. And I think, if we're being honest, there's moments that we can all be a bit like grumpy teenagers. But your words are powerful. The Bible teaches us that there is power in our words, that there is life and death in the power of the tongue. You can change your world by changing your words. Your words bring life or death, are powerful. Your inner voice. Now I'm speaking to you right now, but your inner voice is telling yourself what I'm saying, interpreting what I am saying. And you've got that voice hanging around with you all the time. What's that voice saying? Is it building you up or is it pulling you down? How is your self-talk? Are you speaking yourself up or speaking yourself down? What's going on in that inner voice? Here's what the next person said. Don't take life too serious. Be kind. Keep laughing and have fun. Have confidence in yourself. Don't compare yourself to others. And ask for help or advice if you need to. Don't be in such a hurry to grow up. Being young is probably one of the happiest times of your life. So enjoy it. Believe in yourself. Believe in yourself. I think that's one of the things I would say to my younger self, is be confident. believe in yourself. In the Bible, we read about Joshua, who needed a word from God as he stepped into the leadership position. And God had to speak to him and say, I am with you wherever you go. Be courageous. Do not be afraid. Joshua needed to know that he didn't need to be compared to Moses who came before him. He needed to be secure in who he was and his identity, which was not found in people or others, but was found in God. And likewise, it's so important that you don't compare yourself to everybody else, because we always compare ourselves and we always come off worse. And that's not wise, because comparison robs you of your confidence, that confidence that God has placed in you, because he's created you for a purpose. Your identity is in him, and you need to believe in yourself. And I wonder in life how much goes unfulfilled because we lack confidence, not the skills, not the abilities, but the self-belief that actually what God has purposed for us, that we can actually do it. And it's not an arrogance, it's not a pridefulness issue, it's a lack of belief. And it's a self-confidence issue. And I would say to you today, believe in yourself. Believe in yourself. Your confidence is not found in your circumstances. It's found in Christ. So what are you saying out loud? I talked about your inner voice, but what about the voice that's speaking out loud? It's really important. Your words have life or death. They're powerful. What are you saying out loud? Well, Jesus said this, what you say flows from what is in your heart. So we're coming back to the heart. Proverbs says you've got to guard your heart. The psalmist said, I've hidden your word in my heart. And Jesus said, everything that you say flows from your heart. What are you saying? Are you speaking life? Are you giving praise? Are you thankful? Are you speaking faith? Are you speaking up Jesus to the people that you're doing life with? Maybe we just need to check our vocabulary. David said, I will bless the Lord at all times, his praise shall continually be in my mouth. When those around us are gossiping, they're speaking ill of others, they're being judgmental, they're being critical and negative, they're taking banter too far, they're speaking negative of other people, they're pulling people down, in those moments we've got to speak good. Because everybody's listening to your words and they're watching our lives. And it's so important that if the words have life and death, that we are speaking life in a dead world. Two final ones. Two more. Can you take that? Two more. Last two. Share your worries. You might think what you're worrying about is a big thing, but if you talk it out with someone, you'll feel better and realize it's not that big a deal. A problem shared is a problem halved. No one can be yourself as good as you can. Don't let anyone change you. People love you for being you. And the last one said this, growing up and moving on to something new can be as rewarding as it is challenging if you keep your trust in Jesus. Keep focused on him. He will take care of the rest. Also, listen to your mom. She's always right. Wise words. I was probably not that surprised that most people who got back to me actually mentioned worry. And I think in that season of life, there is so much unknown, so many concerns, so much changes, so much things happening, and so much, I guess, to worry about. But I'm grateful tonight that we don't need to worry, because God is here to help us. And Jesus told us not to worry. What controls, what consumes your mind controls your life. Whatever is your prevailing thoughts, whatever you're thinking about the most, that's what you're worshipping. See, I've talked about his word and your words, but I want to ask you about your worship. Whatever you are thinking about the most is what you are worshipping. And I wonder today, Are you thinking more about your problems? The what ifs? Things that are making you anxious? Are you thinking about the one who can actually do something about all this? See, Jesus says in Matthew chapter 6, probably my favorite, or my life verse if you like. Matthew 6 verse 33, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. See, Jesus is telling us that we need to put him first. That he needs to be our Lord. He needs to be central. We need to consume our minds with him. Paul writes in Philippians that we are to be anxious about nothing, but in everything, with to make our requests known with thanksgiving. And then he goes on and says, and we do that, the peace of God will be our portion, which transcends all human comprehension. And then a couple of verses later, he tells us to think about things that are good, that are noble, that are praiseworthy, things that are good for us. Consume our minds with these thoughts. So whatever consumes your mind is controlling your life. And I guess that's really where we come to this morning and ask you, what's controlling your life? Are you in control? Are you trying to figure everything out? Because right at the start I said that to stay on the path that God wants us to live in, we will fail in ourselves, but he has shown us that he's here to help us, and he's given us these guardrails, safety barriers, to help us to stay on the right path. And it really involves what I've said, staying close to Jesus to stay on the right path. Spent by reading time in his, taking time to read his word, apply it, and then reap the benefits of it. And then in what we're saying, what we're speaking to ourselves and what we're speaking to others, and consuming our thoughts and our minds with Jesus. You know, maybe you find yourself in a moment where you are worried, you are concerned, you're anxious. Well, I want to encourage you right now to stop thinking about what you're worried about. Just begin to think about Jesus and just to fix your focus on him. He is the Prince of Peace. He is the way maker. That when things seem to be impossible, he can make a way. He is the end and the beginning. He knows the future. You can trust him. So I want to pray for you right now. Before I pray for those who maybe are worried, I want to give people an opportunity, because maybe you are in control of your own life. Maybe you are your king. You're trying to make it all happen. You've got it sorted. Well, the Bible tells us that that is foolish. That in our end, our best efforts are like filthy rags to God. And Jesus said that if you want to save your life, you've got to lose your life. That means that you have got to give your heart to him. How does that work? It's so simple. It really is so simple that anyone, regardless of their education or place in this world, can respond. So God has done everything that needed to happen so that you could respond. He sends his one and only son, Jesus. He comes into this world, lives the life like me and you, human, skin on, lives it, experiences the full thing. And at the end of his life, he's crucified on a cross. And in that moment, your sin, what I mentioned earlier, anything that displeases God, is placed upon him. And he pays the penalty, takes the punishment for our sin. So that now you can ask your Father in heaven to forgive you of your sin, and that blood that Jesus shed upon the cross to cleanse your heart from all sin and give you a new heart. And now we can turn from our old lives, off that wrong path that leads to destruction and to walk on the path called the path of purity and walk with Jesus. And it all begins by just praying a really simple prayer like this. If you want to do that, just repeat these words after me. Dear Lord Jesus, I thank you that you came into this world, that you went to the cross, and you took my place, because I recognize I'm a sinner. I ask you to forgive me of my sin. Be my Savior. Make me into a new person. I turn away from my old life. I follow you. I confess you are my Lord. I believe you are risen from the dead. I want to follow you all the rest of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer first time, or maybe use this a moment to reconnect, you need to reach out to us. We'd love to help you. Even better, come next Sunday to church. I'd love to speak to you. Maybe you're worried, you're anxious today, you're watching me. The concerns are this life. A lot of things may be going on in your world. Can we just allow Jesus to consume our minds? And actually, in doing so, we are giving him control of our lives. Father, we surrender to you. We confess that Jesus is our Lord. We resign everything. We hand it over to you. Every anxious thought, every concern, every fear, every circumstance and situation into your hands we place it. We trust in you. We seek you first with all our hearts. We ask you, Lord, that we would have this incredible blessing of walking with you.